Hi, I'm W2OP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Courtney Sexton, co-founder.
And Rachel Koontz,
also
co-founder of Innerloop, an awesome group we want to tell you guys about. Their latest event is on Tuesday at the Colony Club on where?
Georgia Avenue.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Now, before we get into the actual event at Colony Club, how long has this been going on?
4 years.
Yeah.
We founded the Innerloop in 2014, so 4 years now, and next year will be our fifth season.
Mm-hmm.
How did the brainchild actually come together? Like, did you two know each other from a previous life, previous job, or, you know, how did this brainstorm?
Graduate school.
So Rachel and I had actually both lived and worked in the DMV prior to grad school. And then we met there, a creative writing program.
In New York.
Yes.
What's the school? What grad school?
Sarah Lawrence College.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And we were both going to move back to DC after graduate schools, which we did. And then we hooked up.
Yep.
And I was like, Courtney, do you want to start a reading series?
And I was like, yes, please. My creative drive has plummeted.
Yeah. When we moved back, we had a hard time accessing all the writers who lived here because it seemed really separated.
Disparate.
Like, there are a lot of MFA programs in the area. And they have their own reading series, but there wasn't one that sort of brought everyone together.
I see. So it was almost each school in the area had their own little group, but you guys wanted to kind of combine them all. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we wanted to reach people outside of the schools, too, because there are a lot of writers that are outside of academia.
Right. I want to know more about this creative writing class you guys met in. Who's the professor? Were you guys really tight?
It's
then?
Funny
like,
you
what sort of
mention.
Stuff did you write then? I really want to know like the seeds of the creative spark.
Funny you should mention the professor because we do have a unifying one professor who really influenced us both, Vijay Seshadri. He won the Pulitzer Prize also in 2014, was it? 2015? I don't know. Recently.
Wow. For what?
For poetry.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he was both of our mentors in college, and we had that class together,
in grad school.
Didn't we?
We did.
Yes.
Yes.
So he was a big influence on us, and he has joined us at the reading series. He's joined us on the podcast.
Yes.
So he's been a huge support of both of us and our unifying factor.
Wait a minute. So there's an Innerloop podcast?
Yeah.
I did not know this. All right, plug it.
Okay.
It just launched last month. It's monthly. So every month that our event happens, we also launch a podcast
episode.
And it has readings from the live events as well as in-depth interviews. And we just talk about the writing life and.
So we have writers come in similar to this, and we do what you're doing right now. But we interview them and talk about how they function as a writer in the city, you know, balancing other things. We like to focus a lot on how do you be an active writer, but also participate in other parts of your life. So
that's really cool. All right. So everyone check out the podcast.
All right.
Back to our regularly scheduled interview. We were talking about the professor at the creative writing program. So then you guys, you know, you go off and you meet back up in DC.
Right.
Take me into that conversation. Are you at a coffee shop? Are you how do you actually hatch this?
Oh, that's right.
Walking your dogs.
So we were both working like had full time jobs, and we both have large hounds.
Yeah, hound dogs who like to pee on everything. So they were imagine them in the distance peeing on trees, and we
paint the picture. Where are we? Where in town? Are we in DC?
We were
in
Petworth.
Petworth.
Because you were living up in Petworth at the time. At the rec center there, there's a big kind of wooded ish fieldy area,
and like bad dog owners, we let our dogs off the leash and they do whatever they want.
Right.
Nice.
But they come back. They're good.
Yeah.
And we were sitting like on a brick wall.
Yeah. The leaves were falling gently around us. No, it was February, so it wasn't leaves. So it was probably like snow and it was freezing.
To stay warm, you come up with this idea.
Yeah, exactly. No, Rach was like, Court, have you been writing? And I was like, no, have you been writing? She's like, no. And we had just really been missing the community that had been so tight-knit in that small program. Because it's an inspiration to be around people who are doing what you're doing, and you feed off each other and that energy, and just neither of us had that. So
it's made a huge difference. It keeps writing in the front of our heads. It keeps, you know, the inspiration around you when you see other writers working hard. It makes you want to work hard. It's it's made a huge difference, I think.
So how do you actually, what's the logistics of actually putting it together? I mean, is it simply you throw up a Facebook page, or how do you actually start it? Or, how do you get funding for it? You know, I want to know how you actually got it off the ground.
Well, we don't have any funding.
Funding comes out of our pockets. We're in kind of a rhythm now, like we know what we're doing, but the initial part, we did a lot of outreach to those programs, to
the MFA programs you mentioned.
To the Bethesda Writing Center, which is close to here. We flyered. Rachel made flyers.
I made so many flyers.
We went around coffee shops and bookstores.
Wow.
We did a lot of that kind of hands on the ground, feet on the ground.
And it was like surprisingly effective.
Yeah.
I was like, let's just do everything that we can think of. Email every program, put the flyers up, tell everybody we know. And we thought it would be like a slow build, but actually in the very first event, we had 75 people show up, which we were like, whoa! And they barely fit into the venue.
In the reading room. We were up at...
Where was the first one?
The reading room at Petworth Citizen that used to be in the back there. So it was an appropriate venue, but people were spilling out and we were like, what the? This is awesome!
Yeah, it was amazing.
How much has it grown? Like, so you said 75 at the first one. So,
yeah.
And I assume, was it always monthly from the very beginning? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say by the end of the first year, how much had it grown from 75 the first night to...
I would say that it's... stayed steady.
Yeah.
So that was another big surprise, because I don't know what Courtney thought, but I thought we're going to run out of writers and people coming to the events, because there can't possibly be that many writers in DC.
Because just we have 9 writers at each event plus a featured writer. So someone who's a little more established. So 10 writers.
Yeah.
Are the 9 like more local authors?
Yes.
And then you bring in the 1 heavy hitter featured.
Yes. Right. And even the featured, we try to stick to local or at least regional, because that's really one of our main goals, is to highlight the writers and active writing life here in DC.
So it's even 4 years in, it's pretty steady.
We still have 10 writers per event, and we still have about 50 to 75 people
show up to the events. That's good, because sometimes the first one you might have been like, yay, something new, but then you anticipate a drop off. So it's nice you've been able to kind of keep it consistent. Yeah. Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you.
The name, Interloop, how'd you come up with that? Why?
That's all
Why
Courtney's
not Outerloop?
Courtney's brilliance.
Are you obsessed with the Beltway, or what's going on?
Well, I mean, we live
She's
here.
She's obsessed with puns.
That's really the problem. I'm like,
aren't
really?
We all?
Right?
Who said it's the highest form of, like... literary achievement.
I don't know. Oscar Wilde or something.
Really? We literally have a pun jar out there, mostly for me.
Oh, thank you. What is that, like a new girl? What is the
Sorry,
jar?
That was a little jarring. Go ahead.
So we were in the beginning stages, we were emailing each other back and forth a lot, like, okay, we need to do this. Let's brainstorm. Let's think about that. And we had the structure kind of, because we had been to similar things, similar types of readings. So we knew what we wanted it to look like generally. But getting together like a logo and a brand and the name and all of that. So it was kind of like, all right, we want something that reflects DC, but everything has district that or capital this. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we wanted something to indicate that it was a local kind of thing. But then I liked the idea of Interloop, because it's like the inner loop of your mind as you're going crazy and spiraling, trying to write by yourself. I kind of played well for us on both of those things.
I love the double, triple meaning.
Yeah.
I really do. Okay, cool. So that's sort of how you guys got it started. What exactly, if someone showed, let's talk about this event that's actually coming up. So it's a literary cornucopia for around, November Thanksgiving theme.
Right.
I like it. So what if we show up to the Colony Club, like what exactly happens? Explain, break it down.
Go for it, Courtney.
You need to warm up the inner loop inside?
During the cooler months, we set up upstairs. In the warmer months, when we're at Colony Club, they have a really lovely back patio and we like to do it outside. But so if you show up on Tuesday, we'll direct you upstairs after directing you to the bar to get a
There's always a bar
of some sort. Yes.
I don't think you have to direct people. I think just, like,
right. Encourage. point you to the bar. Because that is one thing that's really important to us at all of our events. We like to keep it low-key and comfortable so that people don't feel intimidated or like they can't be a part of it.
And we also want to foster the community spirit. So we... you know, we leave 15, 20 minutes at the beginning. We have a 10-minute intermission. The 15, 20 minutes at the end, like, that's as important as the readings for the writers to talk to each other, meet each other, and sort of get that community feeling.
Absolutely.
And we think alcohol helps.
helps just, like,
sometimes.
Absolutely, man. Are you kidding me?
And it gives us a chance to meet small businesses, too, and kind of introduce people in the community to them. So it's a... It's a
built-in mingling networking time.
Exactly.
But in a casual way.
Exactly.
I like that. See, it could be, you know, it could be, in other hands, you know, a little more highbrow. But I like you guys are keeping, you know, you have your ethos. Don't worry about that. That's still there. We'll get into that in a second. But just other than that, you know, it feels very approachable and accessible.
Yeah, that's the idea.
So people hang out for a little bit in the beginning while we do sound check and set up everything. And then after about 20 minutes, we... Rachel and I head to the podium and call everyone's attention. Usually it takes us a few tries to quiet the raucous crowd. And then we introduce our featured reader for the evening, which is someone who is more established, has been writing for a long time, probably has several publications.
And awards.
And awards, usually. Absolutely.
So they go first? They read first?
So they read first for 15,
about 10,
yeah,
10
to 15 minutes. And then we start in the first half with our first group of three readers, each reading for 5 minutes.
It's super. So the 15 minutes is like a big chunk of something, for the featured reader, but the other writers, it's more about getting a feel for their voice. So you get interested in them, maybe you pursue them, approach them after the reading. So it's super fast paced, 5 minutes at a time. So the audience, I think, really enjoys that. If you don't like that particular piece, it's fine. It's only 5 minutes and you can move on to the next one. So we do the 3 at 5 minutes intermission and then the other at 5 minutes. And it's great because you get all these different voices and lots of different literary like aspects in one night.
That's great.
We mix genres. We make sure that we have for each event, we try to have 3 poets, 3 fiction writers, and 3 nonfiction writers.
Right.
We sometimes get playwrights. We sometimes get experimental forms.
Nice.
But we try to
mix it up.
Keep a mix.
I want to go into the featured authors in a second. But let's just stick with what you're saying about the other writers. The other, how many did you say?
Nine.
Okay. Yeah. So go into a little more of like sort of what you mentioned that some is fiction, some is not, some is poetry, but... You know, what exactly is it? Is it just the latest thing that they've scribbled down on a napkin? Is it a little more refined or everything in between?
It's everything in between.
It's submission based.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So do you do vet it?
Yes.
Yeah, we do vet it ahead of time. So they can just email us. And it can be just the 5 minute excerpt. It doesn't have to be, you know, a complete piece. And we just read it, get a feel for, you know, the voice and see if it would be a good fit. And then we choose the 9 readers ahead of time, usually a week or two in advance. Mm-hmm.
Who exactly are these other writers? Are they, I assume they all have different day jobs. I mean, maybe some are professional writers, but, you know, what? Give me a sampling of like the smattering of sort of where
really,
these people come from.
Yeah, it really is a smattering. It's DC locals, it's DC transplants. Students, professional writers. We get a lot of lawyers who write in their spare time.
A lot of government workers who have like that passion that you are looking in for an outlet for.
People who might be just dabbling.
That scared the crap out of me.
Window washer.
A window washer just popped down onto the window. I've never seen that happen at the Glass and Clothes Nerve Center. We're just going to go with it.
We should see if he wants to read for us.
I was like, we're hearing talking about this, and all of a sudden there's a man. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, what is this? Okay, well, I guess we can continue.
That's okay.
If he makes a loud bump, just pause or something.
Okay.
Got it. I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, I'm just going to go with
Spider-Man
it.
Is here.
I mean, you got to get clean windows.
Wow, look, he's really getting into it.
Yeah.
Too.
Mid-interview. Okay. Anyway.
So they come from all over, and we have had...
Sometimes they drop out of the sky.
Sometimes we just bump into them.
Some right while they're washing the windows.
Exactly.
All right, sorry.
So all age ranges, we try to get a diverse group. When we do have submissions and we're looking for each month, it's rolling. So we try to kind of curate a program of writings that are going to give people a good mix, but also that complement each other. So we don't want too many super, super dark things in one event because everyone's going to leave being like, I don't want to go back to that, you know, but you do want to have thought pieces side by side with funnier things. And
but it's funny because our audience is very welcoming. Yes. They're very accepting. We've had many comments from the readers who compliment the audience and how welcome they feel and not intimidated at all. So I think it leaves room for any kind of, like, even if you do want to get a little dark, like, absolutely, they're going to go there with you.
Yeah. Is it always at Colony Club?
Not always.
Actually, one of our goals for next year is to nestle in different neighborhoods of D.C. and try to branch out a little bit more. We've settled at Colony Club because it was a up-and-coming or just started business in Parkview neighborhood. And it's a great space.
Absolutely. Max and Ben are the guys who run it, and they've been so wonderful.
Comfortable there. Yeah. But I think next year we're going to try harder to visit different neighborhoods and get the word out a little more.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Featured writers.
Yes.
Who are coming this time?
So E. Ethelbert Miller is our featured reader for Tuesday's event.
Give me some of his accolades. I was just looking at him. I was like, I was going through him online and said, wow.
I know. There's a list that is longer than I can even remember.
Very well known in D.C.
He had his own day. I think Marion Barry gave him his own day.
Yeah, right. He's like a D.C. staple writer.
Absolutely. And he's been living here, writing here, being a part, a major part of the arts scene and community here for decades. He was working at the Writers Center. I don't know if he's still there. Everyone hears Ethelbert, and it's like, oh, and so when I first met him was actually at AWP, which is this big writing conference. And there was a table with the Writing Center that he was at. And he just has this charisma, and it's so fun to talk to him about writing, but also just about DC and our history and that arts community that is here, because he knows it, he's lived it, he's shepherded it. So we think it's going to be a really nice, this is our last event of the season. Mm-hmm. We take a break in December, so we think it'll be really nice to have him kind of close.
What will he be reading, and what makes him, I mean, you talked about how he's sort of a the institutional knowledge of DC, but as a writer, you know, what makes him so special?
Don't you have this memorized? All
I don't. I think his one ability to ground you in his work and relate to it, but also his rhythms. He has that kind of walk with me, talk with me in this piece, and we're going to go on a journey together, and you're going to love it. And we might take some detours that are odd or, you know, unexpected, but that's part of the joy of it. And again, hearing him read it aloud adds that other dimension to it too. So
what will he be reading this time?
I'm not sure. Oh, so we leave
We don't get it ahead of time for the featured readers.
Oh, okay.
We
let them. You vet everyone else, but for the featured readers, you trust them.
And we actually, the other readers don't necessarily read the submission that they've sent us. That's not a requirement.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
All right, so that's him. And then Sophie Jack?
She is one of our regular readers. Okay. But we've invited her to come down from New York, which is a little bit different sometimes when there's someone who has ties.
We had someone last month also come down from New York.
So if there's someone who has ties or like a real drive or like desire to join us, we take a look at their work, what they've done, what they're doing, and say yay or nay. And Sophie's definitely really cool, and we're excited to have her.
And Courtney and I are always excited to get nonfiction writers.
Yes.
Because they are a little more sparse, and that's what we studied is nonfiction.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. Do you guys ever get up and read, or is
we
that?
We do sometimes. Okay. We try not to make it about us, because it's more about the community, but occasionally we will fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something percolating. That's awesome. Who are some of the other, so we talked about the feature writer this time, but what about over the last 4 years? What are some of the highlights, at least personally?
Well, definitely Vijay. That was really, you know, again, our advisor, Vijay Seshadri, and super special for us. I love
JC.
Yes.
Obviously.
Maud is at UMD, and she's been a huge supporter from the get-go.
Go Terps.
Yeah. Michael Collier is another big one. Who has been?
Habelia, was it?
Halan, yes.
Habelia.
Kyle Dargan. Jennifer Atkinson. Man, we've had.
Other than the
We've had like 40, 50 featured readers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, that's a great sampling.
That's a great sampling. What about in terms of, I mean, I know that this is going to be a really hard question because you've heard so many pieces, but have any stood out, maybe even just recently? Give our listeners kind of a sense of, because, I mean, look, we're doing a radio piece about a writing thing, you know, so I'm trying to, like, make it come alive in their minds while they're riding down the road, but...
Do you want us to put on the poet voice and read something very seriously?
It's not necessarily in the voice, but, no, like, just... Do any jump out at you when, you know, you're sitting there, you're not expecting anything, and then all of a sudden just someone gets up and you're like, whoa, that was incredible. Like,
absolutely.
Could you describe one of the short stories or poems or something that really hit home?
So the one that always jumps out to me for some reason, I think it's because he was a lawyer, and it was our first crossover lawyer-writer, and he did a noir piece.
Steve Madden?
He did a noir piece, which was just so brilliant and took you back. You know, you felt like you were a detective, you know, in the 1940s or something.
Right.
And he really went for it. And, you know, a lot of times genre work can fall off the mark, but he nailed it. And I just, that piece will forever stick out in my mind.
There's a speed limit in this town, Mr. Neff.
Exactly. Right. We also sometimes...
Thanks for getting that, by the way.
Yeah, no, for sure. Occasionally you'll see someone and... like I'm thinking about James Merrifield.
Yes, he's an amazing poet.
He's an amazing poet, very, very soft-spoken, tall, bearded, kind of burly guy who you just didn't know what to expect.
And he had a very subdued presence before he went up to the mic stand.
And he gets up there and he stands and... if I recall, he like said a few words. Like he wasn't stoic, but...
He
started reading the poetry, and again, in this very soft voice that you didn't expect from this kind of large guy. And the audience was just captivated.
Totally captivated.
The entire 5 minutes, we were just like, jaw drop. Amazing.
The words were so powerful.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe or recreate. I couldn't possibly.
No. So we definitely do get those surprises, and sometimes the submissions are awesome, and we're like, oh, this is really great, but people haven't practiced reading. So that's something we like to encourage them to. Like, it's a chance for them to hear the words out loud and get a feel for what it sounds like outside of their head.
And on the other hand, sometimes on the page, it's like, this is okay.
Right.
I think we'll, you know, give them the chance to practice this out loud. And then when they come in and read,
it's
you're like
a home run.
Whoa, this is so much better. Like,
right.
Now I can really hear the voice that I'm supposed to be reading this in.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changes the writing for you.
That's so great. Okay, cool. So is it free? Does it cost to get in?
Always free.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yes.
yeah, so I mean, we've gone 25 minutes on this. So, all right.
Awesome.
Cool. I have plenty to work with. Yeah, so I mean, I guess in closing, if anyone was listening to this and they're saying, oh, that sounds interesting. You know, what? How do we get them out there? What's the final sell? Why should they come?
Well, I would say the goal of the inner loop is
come
to...
Come for a good time.
Come for a good time. See that, Courtney? the goal of the inner loop is to connect local writers with the local audience, with the community. And that's part of the reason why we want to make it accessible. We want to make it comfortable and a low-key environment so that... the community can come and hear what their local writers are doing and give them feedback.
Pulse.
And we actually started getting people who came who weren't writers at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they come every month just because they love the vibe and they love hearing, you know, the creativity and what people are doing.
I love you. I have regulars.
Yeah, we do.
We have regulars. So.
Some that aren't even right. That's fantastic.
Exactly. I felt like that was a huge milestone when people who didn't write came in. I think... it could be an enriching experience for the whole community.
And I think it gives you a really good sense of what's going on in DC outside of
the political scene.
The inner loop, as it were.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's a lot of energy here and people just don't always know where to tap into it. And this is a really good starting point.
And there are so many different perspectives. You really get a feel for... what DC is, you know, it's changing, it's growing. A lot of us don't know, you know, what the culture is now through all these changes. And I feel like the writers really give you a sense of where it's going, where it's been, you know, and represents every different community that's
for sure
in it together.
That's so great. Again, guys, it's at the Colony Club on Georgia Avenue.
Yes.
Tuesday night.
Yes.
It's free.
Always.
So
7
p.m. 7 p.m.
7:30.
Show up at 7.
I was like, I won't be there at 7. Time. So.
They have drinks. Is it free or is it cash bar? Or how's that
cash
work?
Bar.
Cash bar. Bring some cash. Yeah. Have a little
or
bring good time and here see some awesome samples of
and
writing.
We do have a website if you want to learn more.
Plug it and also give us the email where they can submit.
Yes. Okay. So the website is www.theinnerlooplit.com and you can email us at theinnerlooplit@gmail.com.
What about Facebook, Twitter?
Yes.
The Inner Loop DC.
Yep.
On Facebook
and
The Inner Loop Lit
on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
Final plug for you. Podcast again.
Yeah.
Podcast will the second episode will be launching also on November 14th. And
it's
you can
Inner
find
Loop?
That the Inner Loop Radio on iTunes, okay. Spotify, anywhere you stream podcasts, you will be able to find it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for coming in. This was actually a lot of fun. And you never know who's gonna drop in on the window.
That's right.
Thank you, Jason. Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.